Welcome to Kiki and Kibitz with Jordan and Brianna.
Hello and welcome to Kiki and Kibitz with Jordan and Brianna, the podcast where the bagels always have lox and the jokes are always tasteless. Each week, we bring you our snarky take on Bravo, Real Housewives, reality TV, celeb gossip, and anything else we feel like talking about. My name is Brianna, and I'm here with my awesome co-host, Jordan Ross Myers. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, Brianna. How are you?
Doing really well, thank you. Feeling kind of high after the launch of our podcast last week.
We're real. We're up and going now.
I know. It's kind of a strange feeling to have something that you just dreamed up in your bedroom become a reality. So what did your friends think of the podcast?
They had no idea what to expect. This is like,
so we all had that in common then.
Yeah, like they knew vaguely that I tweeted about some old lady sometimes, and I'd get really excited if, you know, by the but they really didn't know what to expect, and they were really happy for us and impressed.
Oh, did they know you were a Twitter celebrity?
Vaguely, but I don't talk about it that much in like my dated, like real life, because people either don't know what I'm doing or they won't understand, or there's a chance they'll be creeped out. So this is my guilty pleasure.
But it was a blast. And as I was telling you earlier, I am such a nerd that I just kept loading and reloading our statistics so I could see how many people were listening and if anyone subscribed. And it was sort of like the opening night of a musical theater production or something.
Oh, definitely. It's like how I think you said, it was like throwing a party and just praying someone shows up.
Yeah, exactly. And they did. So yes. That was awesome. Yay.
It was quite a kiki.
Yeah, that's it. Our kiki has begun. And speaking of kikis, are you ready to kiki tonight about the last episodes of Below Deck Med and Real Housewives of Potomac?
Yes, all in.
Because there is a lot to say. Mm-hmm. The extra all the way around. But I would like to start with Below Deck Med because I am low-key depressed that it's over and that there's no reunion. Uh-huh. I kind of hate Bravo.
Though I wonder why they don't get a reunion. That I understand maybe not like a full three-episoder, but I think it's fun. Maybe have them all on the Watch What Happened in the clubhouse.
They did that last year for the reunion. So what did you think about Captain Sandy on this last episode?
I like when Captain Sandy goes after Hannah. Someone needs to. I mean, she's always dishing it out. It's nice to see someone send it right back to her.
Do you think she was deserving it?
Maybe not in that episode in particular. I thought she was doing a fine job. But just cumulatively over the seasons, you can't say she's so innocent. Like, I liked seeing her taken down a notch.
I do feel like she was sort of phoning it in this season. So, I mean, to me, Captain Sandy, who I love, and we can talk about that in a minute, but Captain Sandy, I feel like maybe she was picking up on the fact that she just wasn't giving it her best, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't Kate Chastain level of, say, parties and tablescapes. And I mean, most people go over the top. Like, I could never do that. But
I'd love to see what secret drawer or whatever on the boat where they keep all those like decorative glass pebbles and streamers, right? Just in case like there's a special event.
Yeah, they have a lot of stuff, but apparently not enough stuff on that boat. Yeah. Well, and I was kind of basing that on the fact that the kitchen was like the galley was so like bent. They didn't even have working burners and it seemed really, really tiny compared to like
it was really small.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's where they picked Well, they brought Ben in eventually, and he's a tall guy. But, like, what was her name? Mila?
Yeah.
She was so petite. Maybe the kitchen was better suited.
Maybe. Yeah, it's like me. I drive a Mini, and it's sort of like the car that fits me because I'm 5 feet tall and 128 pounds. That's
perfect.
Yeah, it's like thimble size, kind of like me. So, yeah, that was a Mila-sized kitchen. But, oh, my God, Mila. Can we talk about Mila for a minute?
Yeah.
So, like, those homophobic comments, does she not realize? First of all, does she not know she's on TV?
And not just TV, Bravo.
Exactly. Like, did you not know what you're signing up for?
That was really weird to see. I don't know. I don't know what kind of points she thought she was going to win.
I don't think she cares. But do you think Bravo knew what they were getting into, or were they seeding drama by hiring someone like that?
Oh, I don't put anything past them. I mean, whether conflict is why we watch.
Yeah, it's true. You're right. Everyone gets mad when people are happy, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't even stop like Beverly Hills when Taylor Armstrong's husband killed himself. So I really don't think a vaguely kind of homophobic chef is anything out of their realm or crosses the line with them.
I'm not sure how vague it was. She's like, it's wrong. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see two men kissing.
Didn't she say she loves Putin or something?
Yes. Like, and she loves Trump. She's like total make America great again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They made it a little better by getting rid of her. So.
Yeah, exactly. I was kind of blown away. But one thing I have learned, and it's only, I think, because of Twitter, I read everyone's messed up theories, and I think I'm kind of innocent, because then I start to see all that stuff, like, Bravo's just straight up shady sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
But you're right. People hate it when things are too happy, except for there is actually a large set of the Twitter audience who's like, I'm not watching. People are so mean. These Bravo people, they just fight and fight. Like, it's like, okay, why are you watching it?
Yeah, then, like, turn on, go to, like, the family, what's that called? ABC Family or the Hallmark Channel.
Go watch the Hallmark, go watch old reruns of Lori Loughlin on the Hallmark Channel. Have a good time.
Exactly. Right? Anytime I think of Hallmark, I think of Lori Loughlin.
There's a good reason for that. Yeah. Most like pretty much half their movies how they feature Lori Loughlin.
Mm.
Not just starring, but literally featuring. I don't even remember anything she's done besides the Hallmark Channel at this point.
I know her, and like most people my age know her as Aunt Becky from Full House.
Oh, that, no, I know her from that too. Well, yeah, except, yeah, okay, your point's well taken. I'm not trying to say I'm older than you or anything. Don't tell people I'm older than you, but like, I'm way older than you. It's not my fault. It's my parents' fault. So back to Captain Sandy. What do you think of her in general? What do you think of her wanting to be called captain but hugging people every 10 minutes? Is there a conflict?
I love Captain Sandy. Like, I would love to see her unhinged a little. I know she doesn't really drink, is what I gather. She said she had trouble.
She's a sober alcoholic. She can't drink. Jordan's like, well, I'd love to see her drink.
Yeah. Okay,
see that lady wasted.
She's so composed, and she's like she's like a 24/7 motivational speaker.
I know. Is she from the Midwest? She sounds like she's from Wisconsin or something.
Yeah.
She's so funny. Let me give you a hug. I just love you, Joelle.
Maybe she could have a spinoff on like the, what's that, OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network. Like, how, like sail away into your best life.
I could see that. Well, it seems like all these Bravo people eventually start writing books like that anyway. I was listening to Bravo Daily Dish today and Vicki Gumbelson came on and she was talking about, do you know she has written three books. She's writing her fourth book and they're all like self-help, finance and insurance, but it's all with this really like crunchy overtone, like live your best life and,
oh God,
you know, realize your future dreams and just like all these people just write these whatever inspirational books. I would not find it inspirational, but I could see Captain Sandy doing that.
Yeah, I could see Captain Sandy doing that. I mean, but I'm still trying to process Vicky writing.
I know.
You caught me off guard with that one.
I'm sorry I broke this to you that way. I know. Well, not only that, I'm not sure if you saw my text to you or not, but Vicki Gumbelson is starting a podcast.
Oh, God.
She's coming for us, Jordan. She's coming straight for us. And I want to know how you feel about that.
I don't think she's, I think she should stay in her lane in the OC. I don't know if she wants to hit the mean streets of the valley and go up against us.
Yeah. So, yeah, Captain Sandy, gotta love her and the hugs. And I just want to say, like, she really, like, does Joelle deserve all the love? Because I feel like he's a dick.
Yeah, I don't like him or his 90s sitcom lifeguard haircut. He looks like his name should be like Brad.
Yeah, exactly. Hold on a second. Can you stop, Chico, really? My dog is asleep and barking in her sleep. Oh. Do you hear that? My dog she's lying on her back sleeping, barking in her sleep. Listen.
Oh, I can hear it a little. Maybe she's having a dream.
Anyway, yeah, we love Captain Sandy. We want to see her get loose. Right?
Oh, that's what I was going to say. I got excited because there was this, I don't know if it was this last episode or the one before, they had to go wake Sandy up. It was like the middle of the night. And I was like, am I going to see Sandy in pajamas? And no.
She doesn't wear pajamas.
Out of bed. Yeah, we couldn't really see into her room. I'm curious about that. And she jumped out with her Sirocco fleece, her shorts. Like, I don't know if she sleeps in like the upright position.
She never looks tired, I'll tell you that.
Oh, no, she's so vibrant.
She's like fresh as a daisy.
Yeah.
And she looks like in her mid-50s, you know? She's like 55.
Wow.
Yeah.
She looks like she does like brisk walks in the morning.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. She does. She looks very wholesome. She's got that Midwestern look. That look that I've never had for one day of my life, not even when I was five. So I feel sad in my heart that Below Deck Med is over. And I would be lying if I didn't admit that 90% of the reason is because I will not see Jack on my screen every week.
Do you have a crush on him?
No, I'm in love with him. It's more than a crush. His accent, I can't take it, man. And he sounds like a beagle. And I just want them to play like the intro to Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds behind him as he speaks, you know. Jack, I love Jack. I was terrified that they were going to fire Jack earlier in the season. Because let's be real, Jack didn't look like he worked. Although it could be one of those shady Bravo edits.
Yeah. I mean, that might be what they want to capture with them. They kind of edit your storyline around, you know?
Yeah, that could be. I do wonder now. I'm losing my naivete. Starting to realize that they actually create these things.
Yeah, there is. And I took a film class in like high school or college. Mm-hmm. Something, and the teacher was, this was the early days of these were, this is when like Survivor was the big reality show. Mm-hmm. I don't even think Housewives had come out at that point. And he was, and he works in that, and he said, just to let you know, there's no reality in reality TV. He was like, think about how they have to set up cameras, mics, get filming permits, nothing spontaneous.
It's true. But if you hear, like, I've listened to Stassi Schroeder talk about Vanderpump Rules, and she's like, it is not scripted. She said, but what it is they put you in these absurd situations in which you would never be in.
Yeah.
And then it's things like, if you get in an argument, you still can't leave because you're trapped there for 12 hours filming. So people are grumpy, they act weird, and it's the artificiality of, you know, you get irritated at one of your friends, but you can't leave.
Yeah.
You know, like at grown-ups, usually at the point where you're irritated, you just leave.
Yeah, they're locked in together.
Exactly. So that's why they start fighting. But it's not scripted. It's just
a
artificial Bravo situation.
Yeah, Bravo doesn't script. They put these people in these closed situations. But what happens is up to them.
Exactly. So, I mean, Jack definitely must have had many moments when he wasn't working or when he was making jokes about not working.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they don't have the footage to edit together, but maybe they show more of those kind of scenes to make it look more, you know, heavily weighted towards that.
Yeah, that was what they saw as his overall story arc.
He's just so cute and funny. I was dying laughing in the beginning of the season where he was like, but I can't put my hair up every day. I don't have time. And Joelle's like, how long does it take to put your hair up in a damn ponytail? And I'm just thinking, welcome to my life. You should see how much maintenance this takes. Hours.
I imagine the below deck experience for a season, it's kind of like summer camp.
Yeah.
And I think they develop these like summer camp relationships and dynamics. And then at the end of it, they go back to their home boyfriends or home girlfriends. It's like
that
a separate
is
world.
I think that's a really astute observation. Mm-hmm. And again, it's that artificial thing. You're trapped on a boat with absolutely no one else but these other super hot young people. Like, you know, they're all really hot. They're trapped on a boat. They can't have sex with anyone else. They're two cabins that they can't even rub one out, you know?
Yeah.
And like, what happens? You know?
Do you remember there was a guy, this was seasons, I think it was the one with Captain Lee, but there was a guy on there and they basically filmed him masturbating in his little bunk.
Maybe I blocked it out.
Yeah, it was kind of, I mean, not they didn't show anything, but he literally was like, okay, I need to close my curtain. I have to.
I don't remember that, but like I say, maybe I just blocked it out.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It's funny. So yeah, Jack broke my heart, broke Aisha's heart, broke all of America's hearts. It was very
tragic.
He?
Is he Scottish?
No, he's from Liverpool, literally where the Beatles are from.
Oh, okay. I was trying to.
That's why he sounds like a Beatle. And you know why I know this is because my stepfather is from Liverpool and he sounds just like them. He grew up a block away from John Lennon, like around the block from John Lennon. Yeah.
See, I was trying to figure it out because it's not like a. It's not like a Ken Todd Vanderpump.
No, that's a no. Anyway, but yeah, the Liverpudlians, they're called Liverpudlians. If you're from Liverpool, you're a Liverpudlian.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because Ben has that, Ben has the kind of accent.
Ben speaks the Queen's English, you know.
I'll never forget this one time he was talking about how he doesn't, defending himself, saying he doesn't talk down to other people, he's not a snob. And literally in the same like sentence, he mentions that he had play dates with Prince William and Prince Harry.
That's right. You know what? So I just said my stepfather is from England. So, yeah. And my best friend is my stepsister, Susan, mm-hmm. and she is obviously from Britain too. So she, because I was asking her, who's your favorite below deck chef? And she said, Ben, even though I hate him.
His hair trips me out. It looks like something, like I went to junior high in the 90s, like late 90s. And it looks like something like a kid into Pokemon would have had. It's this like weird Statue of Liberty, gelled up front that's like kind of windblown, like he was in a wind tunnel, like shocked back.
And not in a good way. It actually looks like it can't move even a high wind.
Yeah. And that must take a lot of effort and like product. And I don't see the payoff in it. Like that's the look he's going for.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was, again, listening to another podcast because I'm obsessed with podcasts. And someone was talking about the Housewives second season glow up effect, where they see themselves on the first season and they're appalled. And then they run out and get a bunch of Botox and facelifts and change their hair and their wardrobes. So, yeah, you would think Ben would have that experience. But no, he's been watching himself with that hair for years and years.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not ashamed, so.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of introspection, I get the feeling.
I do, you know who is, I don't know if she had them first season, but another thing about Captain Sandy, her veneers, they're magnificent. No, it's I not. Stare at her teeth bad. Every time she talks.
That's super funny. I think she's a very attractive woman, I do.
She is.
Yeah, she's pretty.
I think that's why she's interesting too, because she's in a traditionally male role. Yep. She's a female, but she's also very feminine. She's still attractive.
Because you would think there are some situations in which, as a woman, you have to kind of butch it up a little to be accepted.
Like overcompensate.
Yeah, like my world. Like I work in cybersecurity. I work with all men, and they're all engineers. And the only woman, the only non-engineer in my group. And it's like, I gotta haze them right back. I need that.
Yeah.
Like, I really have to kind of butch it up. And also, I don't, like, if you remind them too much that you're a female, they treat you differently. So that's what I'm saying. So it's interesting that she managed to get herself into a position like that, obviously very well respected, and she does not seem that she has compromised her femininity in any way.
That's a great way to put it. She has like a really good balance.
Yeah, exactly. That's good for women. I think she does us proud. That's the kind of woman I need to see every once in a while on TV. Like, I love me some Housewives, but after a while, you just don't want to feel like, as a woman, that every moment your hair isn't 5 feet high and you don't have huge ruffles on and, you know, 5 foot long lashes. Like, we shouldn't have to be that all the time.
Yeah.
That's how I am, you know, I'm always beautiful. I see makeup, but, you know, like, it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Captain Sandy, I don't even think she wears makeup.
No, she has this like fresh, God, it sounds like I have such a crush on her. Talking about, like, she has this like golden skin tone from the high seas. Like, she looks, I think I've heard the term before, like freshly scrubbed.
She does look like freshly scrubbed.
Yeah. Yeah, she just looks like clean and natural.
Yeah, like she's never had a zit, you know?
Yeah. I think we're her new fan club.
I guess so. We love you, Captain Sandy. For sure. So speaking of people that I don't love, I'm just going to go with Joao. We talked about him a little bit, but what I really want to know is, do you think he has changed? Is he Joao 2.0?
No. I don't think he's changed. I think he's more more conscious.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's more conscious of how he might come off. But I think to the core, he's still the same kind of douchebag.
So he just had an image glow up.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, certainly. He came off like a total brick last season.
Yeah. But it did it did come through a couple times in the show where he went after women again. And he gets this, like, smirk after he says something degrading.
Yeah, no, you're right. And he said that about Aisha a lot. Yeah. But so why does Captain Sandy love him so much? Does he have her fooled?
I guess so, because I don't think she'd be supportive of that kind of his kind of behavior. No. She witnessed it.
Mm-mm. He is an ass kisser, though.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Did you catch that, like, at the beginning of this finale, where I think she was frustrated with Hannah and she's like giving him this pep talk? I see you in me.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna
be in my life forever, or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she's in love with him. Yeah, it's
really strange. That would be a really unexpected pairing.
Oh. Ooh. Whoa. That would be really interesting. Yeah, let's go write that script.
We'd never have the captain get involved.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I certainly can't imagine Captain Lee ever getting involved with anyone.
Yeah. He has I've seen on Twitter, there are people who, like, legit would put them on a bucket. What's that called? They'd use, like, a marriage pass, a hall pass for him.
For Captain Lee?
Yeah.
Is my husband listening? Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
I know. He's, like, a lot older and everything, but he's, like, one of those, I don't know, silver fox. Like, he's hot. And he's macho in this way that's, like, not quite overbearing. Like,
it's not, like, toxic.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, not toxic masculinity, but very that rugged. Oh, I love me some Captain Lee.
He reminds me of the guy, especially because he's on a boat, but also with his look. I think it's the Gordon Fisherman. Frozen Fish. The Trust the Gordon.
Oh my God, you're right. I've totally seen it. You just put a raincoat on Captain Lee.
Yes.
Oh no, you've ruined Captain Lee for me now. So do you have any sort of standout moments from the season of Below Deck as we say goodbye one more time?
I love, I'm sorry, who's the one who was drinking too much? Was it Travis?
Travis.
Okay. Yeah. I love the heart-to-heart against Sandy gay ad with Travis about drinking and her past.
That was really very elucidating. I mean, illuminating.
Yeah. And she didn't, I was expecting it to be one of those, like, this is a fireable offense. Like, here's your ticket.
So did I. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah. And she really, like, was he even punished? She gave him one of those, one of those, like, Sandy pep talks.
She did. Come here. Let me give you a hug.
she made me want to be sober. And I was watching.
Wow. She needs to be, like, the new spokesperson for some rehab. For Promises Malibu.
Oh, my God.
Captain Sandy Yon for Promises Malibu. Well, Travis was a hot mess, and it was actually painful watching him, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing him say things like, well, I don't have a drinking problem. I just like to be pissed all the time. Like, defined problem.
Yeah.
It was hard to watch. I thought it was really hard to watch.
What was your favorite?
I don't know. The stuff with Milo is absolutely mind-blowing. Like, I mean, here are the moments when I know that I live in California, because that stuff is so far out of the realm of what is even acceptable that I forget that people are homophobic. And I don't mean to sound like, you know, some kind of total hipster, but I mean, I work at a company where we have a float in the Pride Parade.
Oh.
Literally have company t-shirts where the logo is in the middle of a rainbow heart, you know, for Pride. Like,
oh, wow.
It is what I'm used to having around me. I am very blown away by, I'm shocked when people say something openly homophobically.
Yeah. It seems, maybe it's a sign of our times that it's so, you don't hear it, you don't expect that.
Like, maybe we don't in California, but yeah. I have this weird feeling that like there's like all the states in between the coasts that it might be more acceptable.
That's true.
I don't know. If anyone out there is listening to this podcast in the Midwest, yeah. Drop us a line at Haya@kikiandkibitz.com and let us know if people are more openly homophobic, if you live in the South or the Midwest, because we don't know what is happening outside of our California bubble. Colin, last season, Colin, I was just like, who is this weaselly little dude? And then this season, I felt like, okay, he raps, and he's not bad at it. That kind of surprised me. I did not see it coming.
When I said earlier that the Below Deck reminds me of summer camp,
yeah,
he's totally like, I see him and I think of like a counselor, like with his raps and his little like, he's like his little pep rallies. He's like a one man pep rally.
He's way too good for that show.
Yeah.
He needs to stay home. Like it's just too, it's too corrupt for poor little Colin on the boat.
I've never seen, does he ever get like drunk on their nights out or anything?
No,
I feel like he's like the parent one who like lets his friends get drunk but kind of guides them home, makes sure they're safe.
I think he feels like a fish out of water. He really wanted to go home this season, but that Captain Sandy gave him a hug and made sure he stayed. But he really was a stabilizing force with all those crazy people on the boat. I was kind of impressed with him. Shout out, Colin. You did a good job, buddy.
When I first saw him, I wasn't sure. I was like, he seems so nice and wholesome. Maybe he's a sociopath.
He could be. We don't know that he's not.
That says a lot about who I am and where I'm coming from.
You're like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? He's so nice. He's obviously dishonest. Don't trust him. Buffalo Bill. Oh. He's total serial killer.
Are you talking about from Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again. One of the scariest villains of all times, in my opinion. Him and Pennywise the Clown. Buffalo Bill and Pennywise are scary, both of them.
Okay, oh, nice. So, someone just tweeted in asking where they can read or where they can hear our podcast.
iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Give us 5 stars.
Yes. Sending that out right now.
Excellent. Yes. Tell the world. It's for their own good. They need to laugh more. The world needs to laugh, and we're here for them.
Yeah.
It's a public service.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
See how connected we are. You won't remember this, but long, long ago, when I was just your little fangirl and you didn't know me from the other legions of fans out there, I tweeted and told you you were my spirit animal.
Oh, I remember.
You do? You remember me?
Once you tweeted me from Sir, I think.
I did. I tweeted you from Sir, and I was toasting to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so any last thoughts about this season of Below Deck Mud? Oh. May I just say the following? June, June, Hannah, where is she? June, Hannah.
I forget about June.
Oh my God. And that's why Colin almost left.
Mm-hmm. Good thing. Didn't he offer to go in her place?
What's that?
Didn't he offer to go in her place?
Yeah, that was when he went up and offered to quit and told Captain Sandy that she had a passion for yachting and he didn't. See, that's where Sandy got the idea. I just realized that. He told her he didn't have a passion for yachting and then she projected it onto Hannah.
Oh. Well, I get like with Sandy, there could be a passion for yachting. Like she's the captain, it's a whole lifestyle. But what passion do you have for, are you supposed to have for like changing people's sheets and like bringing margaritas on the deck?
I mean, yeah. They're just maids and waitresses on a boat. It's a shitty job.
Yeah. I mean, and you don't even get to escape it. Like,
oh my God, I know.
It's like sleeping in your restaurant for like 6 weeks straight.
Exactly. And I love boats. I mean, you know, I'm a scuba diver. I'm obsessed with the ocean. I live at the ocean. But I won't go on a cruise ship. And the reason I won't is because I have like a dread fear of being trapped with other people on a boat. And especially if they're sick and contagious, because I'm kind of germ phobic. So like I live in fear. I will never go on a cruise. You will never catch me on a cruise. So like it's a giant floating petri dish that you can't get off of.
I've heard those horror stories. Like
yes.
Whole like cruise ships. They're all vomiting.
Quarantined. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. So yeah, I would never work on a yacht.
No. Have you ever asked yourself if you at some point in your life could have done their job? Like, would you have signed up for a summer to work in those conditions?
I asked myself that, immediately answered no, and never revisited it.
Yes.
And I was a camp counselor more than once. Twice. Yeah, no. Yeah.
I can't see myself having ever done that.
Maybe. I can't even go to the office 5 days in a row. I freak out having to be in a room with so many people.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta be alone. I'm a writer. I'm like, fucking stop talking to me, everyone.
I don't think I could do it.
No way. But I'm glad they do so I can watch them.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
We can soak in their toxicity from a distance.
Right. So want to talk about Real Housewives of Potomac?
Yes.
Okay. Because sadly, it has come to an end. And I have to say, this has been the best season yet. I have not been a Real Housewives of Potomac fan. And this season, I could not get enough.
I thought it was good. It was very well balanced. Like with the conflict, there wasn't just like one awful toxic person, kind of like a Vicki Gunvalson type or Kelly Dodd, like dominating.
That's true.
Like they really kind of, you have little things like obviously the Ashley and Michael thing, but you have like Katie on one.
There were a lot of different plot lines. Something like Puppygate and Beverly Hills last year, which is really one note and it gets super, super boring.
Totally. You're dead on with that. This one, things moved along and it was very fresh, just like Le Dom perfume.
Oh, yeah. Yes, fresh as a 75-year-old grandmother. Karen Huger is like 54, 53. Mm-hmm. I thought she was much older. That blew my mind.
I assume she, especially because she likes to sit with a grand dame that's very matronly.
That's so matronly. I would have
picked her in her 60s.
Exactly. Like 10 years older than that. And she does, the way she acts and even her look, she looks, I don't know. She could be more youthful for her years.
Yeah, I didn't realize she's relatively young compared to what I thought.
She's like the same age as like Giselle, or she's just like a few years. No, Giselle's 50. She's 50.
So they're approximately like, they could have gone to the same schools, maybe different.
Yeah, exactly. And they they seem so far apart in years. It's pretty strange.
Yeah, I mean, Giselle's stunning.
Oh my God, she's so beautiful.
Really, like I always think of her as a Vanessa Williams.
Well, 100%. And the eyes, the green eyes. She's a gorgeous, gorgeous woman.
Like, yeah.
But I have come to call her this season. She's a poor woman's Phaedra Parks.
Her attempts at shade.
Oh my God. I don't mean her shade is less. Well, I guess it is. Phaedra Parks is extremely, extremely intelligent. And I'm not saying Giselle is not, because I think she is, matter of fact. But Phaedra Parks is next level. So her shade comes with that dose of intelligence. It just takes it to the next level, in my opinion.
Yeah.
She, to me, is the shadiest Bravo person there is. And she's still my favorite. I can't.
Yeah, I love her.
I miss her. And so Giselle is like, she's one level down. That's my feeling. Thank God for her. She balances out all the Robin stuff, because Robin is a snooze fest.
I don't understand how Robin made it past season one.
I don't either.
I don't get what she brings, her story, the whole...
I know, the Robin and Juan story is just sad. Yeah, I feel sad for her.
It's kind of like a miserable, I don't know, I do feel bad. She's not a mean person.
No, she's just boring. She's like Teddy Mellencamp.
Yes.
Oh, I'm Teddy. That's a good way to put it. She's just, there's nothing there. Just,
yeah, like, I don't, I was...
Eileen Davidson. These are just, to me, forgettable people.
I think Eileen Davidson was maybe the first Real Housewife to block me.
Really? Why?
I don't know. I posted about what did I tweet? Like her personality matches her hair color, 50 shades of beige.
That's super funny. So you want to know the only housewife that's blocked me?
Who?
Vicky Gumbleton.
Oh. Welcome to the club.
She blocked you too?
Oh, yeah.
Well, she doesn't have time for negativity. That's what I heard today in that interview.
She
just doesn't have time for it. She just has no time for negativity. She's insane.
I've had Kyle Richards, Vicky Gumbleson, Eileen Davidson.
You're a menace.
There are more, I just can't think of them.
You're
maybe
terrorizing the Bravo universe.
Yeah.
Taking down one housewife at a time.
Yeah.
So back to Real Housewives of Potomac reunion. I mean, we've been waiting all season to get the final word on Michael Darby and the infamous ass grabbing.
Yeah.
What the hell? Let's talk about it.
What do you think? Do you think it was a setup, or do you think he's gay, or was it playful?
I mean, I think sexuality is a spectrum, so I wouldn't, you know, he's having sex with Ashley, so by definition, he's not gay, in my opinion, but is he into men? It seems apparent that he is, you know, like, can you, you know, obviously. And do I believe he did it? Oh, hell yes. He's running around grabbing asses. And anyone who denies that is just trying to waiting to get a marriage settlement eventually.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, come the hell on. Where there's smoke, there's fire. I say it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shane Simpson, there's no chance that that man is not an abuser. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
And Michael Darby, there's no chance that he's not walking around groping arses. It's just, I believe it, 100%.
I wonder. It's interesting, too, because he's married and she's pregnant now, I think.
She had her baby.
Oh, wow.
You're like a few months behind. Yes, Ashley has a baby. So, Michael, so I guess some people feel that whole Bravo edit of the alleged incident, that was very shady, super shady edit. And I think that it's fair to say that they did not show it directly, nor could you necessarily tell what was recorded in that recording.
Yeah.
But I think, quite honestly, I feel that was their revenge, because he really is doing it. He did it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was their only way to kind of express. Like, if you can't, if he has, he's been exonerated in court, or they didn't have enough, I don't know, evidence to charge him. Yeah,
right.
Okay, the case was dismissed, right? But let's say it happened, okay?
Mm-hmm.
that poor cameraman, he was not heard. No one has heard him. And yeah. he didn't really get any vindication in court. And Michael Darby's running around saying that means he's innocent. So, like, what if that was their only chance to say, listen to the audio of this guy. Like, you know.
You're right.
That probably doesn't make it right, though, right? It doesn't make it right if it's not true to claim that it's true. But that poor person, that man who got groped, whoever he was, I feel like he has gotten a bad deal.
Yeah. The women were saying you're, like, ruined. Didn't they say, like, he put himself out there over this? To have his life ruined, his job on the line?
Exactly. That's the whole problem with all the victim blaming stuff in general. Who the hell wants to be famous for that?
Yeah. Like,
that's embarrassing. It's humiliating.
It is. And it's not like it's a target that will pay. It's not like he's accusing a big movie director and he'll get $1 million payout. I mean, there wasn't really much incentive for him to come out, to come forward, if it wasn't true.
Well, Michael Darby is pretty damn rich, but he's super rich. And that's, well, we can talk about that in a minute, because some people feel that is the reason why Ashley is defending him. It's about the
plaintiff. Oh, for the money.
Yeah, but so you could say that cameraman was trying to extort him. But to me, the problem with that is, like, wouldn't you do that behind closed doors? If you want to get money from someone, you go to them and say, I'm going to go to Bravo or go to the police and say that you did this. And I've got audio. I mean, wouldn't you try to sort of blackmail it out of them? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or have I watched too much TV?
I mean, but yeah, like, I assume if he was looking for a payout, he would have gone to him privately and he wouldn't have filed charges.
Although maybe he did get paid off.
Oh, and that's why.
And that's why, yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
I mean, if you listen to him, he's an international businessman. His reputation will be sullied. And that's not because he's possibly gay. It's because he's a sexual harasser.
Yeah. It's not who he did it to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It just seems like a bad time for people who want to be sexually harassing. It's not their year.
I wonder if this kid was part of a compromise in their marriage, because, you know, he extended her prenup.
Exactly.
Now, but as a kid, she has 18 years of support either way.
Yeah, but I don't know if you remember, but in the first season of Real Housewives of Potomac, when it came out that he was 40 years older than her, they asked if she had a prenup. And it came out that if they were married for under 3 years, that she got nothing. But if she was married for more than 3 years, the prenup would disappear. Now, apparently, she chose to extend the prenup sort of to prove that she was in it for more than the money, theoretically.
Yeah,
but another part of the agreement was that if they had a kid, it voided all of it.
Okay, so she's set now.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty jaded of us to, you know, suggest that's the only reason why she's with him, but... But, like, what the hell?
There is business involved here. I mean, he did extend the prenup, and now you know the conditions of it, you were just saying. I mean, there is something, it's a transaction.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I don't get it. There's really no amount of money that anyone could give me that would be enough for me to sleep with Michael Darby. That dude is greasy as hell.
Yeah.
Awkward. Seeing his sweaty back as he walked up those stairs, I don't even want to be in the room with that guy.
I don't like when they were showing him like walking up the steps, kind of like lurking from the balcony.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He's lurky. Like, I feel like if I was like sitting at a bar and I like turned to my side, he'd be looking over my shoulder.
Seriously,
right there.
Seriously, like a creepy, creepy dude. And he's like sweaty and greasy and not trustworthy and defensive.
Yeah.
I just see no, I have not witnessed any redeeming qualities, but again, that's the edit. But if you're running around groping cameramen, I promise you no one's going to give you the best edit.
Yeah,
that's what I imagine, and that's kind of what I mean. Like, at the end of the day, the editors have all the power. And they have the power to make you look guilty. And in this particular case, I really believe there was probably something there. I don't think they were just being shitty, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. I wish he would quit the show. I heard rumors that they will be fired.
Oh. I mean, I could say their storyline isn't that interesting.
Outside of that, if he's groping people on the staff.
Oh,
you know, yeah. Like, I feel like that would be a good reason to get fired.
That would be a good tell, because if they are fired for that, Bravo is kind of confirming what we think.
Maybe. I mean, they could say all kinds of things, you know, contract negotiation, who knows, but I would think that's a very, very big liability, because Bravo will get sued for having working conditions like that. You know, it's apparently not okay. That's what we're finding out in the Me Too movement. It's not okay.
Oh yeah, you know, Giselle drives a Mini Cooper too, like you're twinsies.
Well, sort of. Hers is one of those four-door Mini Coopers.
Oh, it's so like the Clubman.
Yeah, it's a Maxi Cooper. But she's got three kids, so
yeah.
And I have little dogs that almost never come in the car.
Yeah. Do you, on your Mini Cooper, are you one of those people who have like eyelashes on the headlights?
No, but I have racing flags on the headlights. No, on my end caps, my mirror end caps, I have racing flags, but no. Is that a thing?
Oh, it is. And it
that's disgusting. No, I would never do that.
Yeah, they have these like plastic like eyelashes that you put on your above your headlights, so your car looks like a cute face, you know, like a cartoon. But it creeps me out. Like,
oh yeah. Plus, that's so like, I don't know. My Mini Cooper's more elegant than that. So I can't do that to my Mini. You gotta respect, a little bit of respect, man. Love the Mini Cooper. I have a 2011 Mini, and I'm just not even planning to give it up anytime soon. I love it so much.
Gonna keep it forever.
Well, until it dies, I don't know. I think there's no reason to get rid of it. So back to Potomac. Can we talk about Chris Samuels for a minute?
He's cool.
That dude's a literal giant. Let's start there. He even sounds like a giant. His voice is really.
Yeah,
like, he sounds like a freaking giant.
He reminds me of Michael Clark Duncan.
Oh my God, yes, may he rest in peace.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. He's an enormous man, but he seems totally cool.
Yeah.
He's like the Jolly Green Giant.
Yeah.
Like, that was what I tweeted on Twitter when Monique liked my tweet.
Oh.
I was saying he's my favorite house husband now. He's just charming and upbeat and cute.
Yeah, I want to like go to their family cookouts. They look like fun.
Oh my God, I know. I know. She knows how to throw a party, that one.
Yeah.
She's stunningly beautiful.
She looked the best at the reunion. Like, I was like, whoa.
She's like a goddess. She really kind of is. She's a goddess. And being pregnant this season, she looked even like even when she was pregnant, she looked like a goddess.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I never looked one day of my pregnancy. Like I just looked like a hot mess beginning to end. No one was like, oh, you're glowing. They're like, oh, you want to sit down?
Yeah.
You don't look good.
Do you like his mom, Shirley?
Oh, yeah. I was also dying at the shade when they're like, they put Miss Shirley's wig on him. Like, he looks exactly like his mother. And then they put his mother's wig over his image. I was dying. He looks exactly like it.
I enjoy. They should bring her on a little bit more. Ooh,
she's sassy. Yeah, she was shading Monique big time. Do you remember that?
Oh, like the first time we meet her, yes. She's like, I told that heifer to get a job.
Yes. Yes. How dare she? Now I like Monique, so now I'm mad. Back then I was like, you tell her. Now I'm like, shut up. She's cool. I like Monique now. But she did. She looked like an absolute goddess at the reunion. Unlike some of the other people. Like Ashley. Yeah. Can we talk about Ashley? What was happening?
I was trying to like put her whole look together. Like, it's kind of like a mesh lingerie gypsy wedding dress with like this weird off the shoulder cape.
Yeah, the cape.
If you look, the cape wasn't really on her shoulder. It like hung. It was, I don't even know. It was.
I'm not a fan of the cape thing. I'm just not. No. It's not working for me. But her hair was like bizarre. I was like, what did they do? I don't know if that was all her hair. Her hair is really long because it's so curly, you know. But like, I don't know what they did to it. It looked like a sculpture that was heavily shellacked and never going to move ever.
Yeah. You know? It reminded me of like the marbling or burling, whatever you call it, and like a piece of wood furniture.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah, there were remarkably like swirls within swirls.
It was bizarre, and I did not find it attractive.
The whole outfit. I mean, this isn't her first reunion. I'd give her a pass if she was a newbie.
Right. She hadn't had her glow up yet. Yeah. But man, she did. But maybe, I mean, she did just give birth, but
true. So maybe, but I think she had a glow down this season.
I know. I also I love her natural hair so much. Mm-hmm. So she was wearing that crazy wig this year too.
With her natural hair, she looks like she could be in like a Gap commercial or something.
I know. She looks really young.
Yeah,
she's like, she's a really beautiful woman too. Fresh. I think she's gorgeous.
You know, it's funny because I see her like in relation to her husband, I think of her as like a little girl almost.
Well, but then when she's like there's on a her reason.
Own, like in a cocktail dress, you realize that she's stunning too.
Yeah, she is. But she has that squeaky little voice and she does come across as very young. And she is. And he is very old. Like, I am much older than Ashley Darby. No one will say how much, but I would not sleep with that man. Like, hell no. He's like the age of my mom or something. Wait, no, he's not. How old is he?
I don't know. Michael Darby age. Should I Google it?
He's like mid-70s. I think.
Really?
Isn't he 40 years older than her?
He's 73.
Yeah, she's 33.
He's 40.
She's your age.
42 years older than her.
That's creepy. See how creepy he is?
Well, she still looks a lot younger than me.
Oh, I know. She really does. She looks like a child.
I have the hairline of someone, Michael Darby's age. I mean, she's so like fresh.
She is very fresh. No LaDom necessary.
Yeah.
I know. Like sometimes I look at women like her and I'm just like, I hate you. Like I just know, I swear to you, I never looked like that. Like I just had tons of acne my whole life. You know, like I just never had that like fresh face, perfectly scrubbed, your skin's like not for one day of my life. Rude. Jealous. Anyway, I still would rather have my life than hers. I don't care how rich she is. It looks terrible. Yeah. You got to live with Michael Darby and watch him on his damn Peloton. Shoot me. I can't stand it. Not for one day. I have to fast forward through it.
I hope she'll, now, especially now that she has the kids and she's established in it, I hope she'll do like a waiting to exhale and leave him.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Tell him just like, what is it called? A read? Give him a read like, I hate you. I hate your face. I hate your Peloton.
Yeah, right. I hate your damn sweaty back.
Yeah.
All of it.
Like, I'll just put us in a pile and toss a match, just like out of my life.
I was actually like, became physically nauseated when she talked about how much he likes to have sex. When she called him a stallion, I wanted to hurl. Like, I really.
That's gross.
No. Yeah, get them off my damn screen. I'm sick of them. I don't want to look at them anymore.
They can go. Yeah, I think their time is done. They kind of feel to me now like, you know who he kind of reminds me of? They remind me of Alex and Simon McCord or Van Camper.
You're right. And not just because of the Australian thing either.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
About us, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just, you know, kind of vaguely creepy. None of the other housewives like him, but he feels like he's part of the cast.
Right.
It's like.
Let's talk about Candace and. Come on, we got to talk about the tissues.
There were times like, was she trying to make herself cry?
You know what? I think so. Yes.
Okay, because I'm a guy, so I'm not too familiar. I was like, well, maybe there's like, I was trying to think from a woman's perspective. Maybe there's makeup or.
No, that is what's going on. No, that is. Oh, you don't know. That's so cute. No. Did you not read my blog?
I did.
Eyeliner. It's all about the eyeliner.
Okay. Is that,
so, like, if you cry and you, like, wipe your eyes with the tissue, you end up with, like, huge raccoon eyes.
Okay, yeah.
So, frankly, I took a lot of instruction from that. I'm like, okay, so that's how it's done. That's how you cry without crying your makeup off. But, yeah. But I thought a lot of it was forced.
Oh, yeah, because there were times when there was no reason for her to cry. So, like, that's why I was confused. Like, there's no, I was like, well, maybe she has something like an eyelash in her eye. Because, like, it's a normal conversation. Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't sure what she was doing. I think she was trying to, like, either force herself to cry or just give us the impression that she might be crying.
I don't know.
Wiping away. Invisible tears. Kyle Richards.
I don't know, but I have to say, if Miss Dorothy was my mother, I would cry probably a lot more than I do now.
I like her mother. No, I'm not saying I would want to be your child.
No, she's terrifying. Even and, more than my mom.
And she's a therapist. This is what people...
I know. What is up with that? Does she have no ability to be introspective or self-aware?
I know.
What's happening there?
The way she approaches, I'd like to know what advice she gives other people. You think she'd be more self-aware?
That's what I mean. Like, because if you're a therapist, you have to watch what you say and not be judgy. And you also have to be composed, right?
Yeah.
You have to not show be reactionary.
Yeah. Mine makes a point of not like not smiling, you know, not
right.
Like, yeah, like no reaction, just listening.
Right. So I mean, I cannot imagine a Miss Dorothy doing that. She just is such a hothead.
I love when people threw it back at Candace, like your mom smacked you in the face with a purse.
I like though that her mom came on the reunion with her purse for a dramatic reenactment.
Yeah.
Like that, I'll never forget. And she's like, she moved her face right into my purse. she's a gaslighter. That's why. Yeah. How is she a therapist? She's a total gaslighter. That's she's like, right. No, you are crazy.
Maybe I have to give Candace a little slack.
Yeah, right. Maybe we're being too hard on Candace.
Yeah. Her mom does delight me, though. She reminds me of Vida from Shaws of Sunset.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
She's Vida's like
such a bitch, man.
Yeah.
But I think she's a good, like, I think she doesn't know. I don't know.
I want to see Vida as a grandma. I'm excited.
Yes. When is Shaw's coming back?
I don't know.
No one knows. You have to go down there and knock on their doors. You live close enough.
They usually film in the summer. Actually, you know, I'm not going to say where. I don't want anyone to get in trouble. But my friend does work at a restaurant where Shaw's has been filming for this season.
Oh,
and this was maybe a month or two ago they were in there filming.
No, thank you.
Vita, I think MJ, and yeah, so they are filming. They tend to do it in the sunnier months, especially with LA shows. It's usually over the summer. So maybe by the end, toward the end of this year or the holidays, they'll have a new season out.
It does seem like it's been more than a year.
Yeah.
So you ready to play a little Fantasy Housewives crossover?
Yes.
Okay, you got one this week.
Yes. This one involves someone who's not a housewife, but she practically is one anyways.
Okay.
So Leanne Locken from Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And Gigi, a.k.a. Golnessa, from Shaws of Sunset.
Oh, my God. Those two could not be more different.
No, except for the knives. One, Gigi collects knives and names them, has relationships with them. And remember, Leanne, what was she saying? Like, Lord Jesus, my hands... These hands are not knives.
They're just hands. We talked about that on our last episode, in fact. Yes. So, I mean, can you imagine them at lunch getting in a heated argument? Like, who would snap first?
Oh, yeah. That would be glorious because they're both quick triggers.
Yes.
And they snap physically. Like, remember Leanne? What did she do? Like, whip her belt and smash a wine glass.
Yeah, she broke a glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gigi's had to be physically restrained before.
Yeah. So that could be super dangerous.
Actually. Yeah, this wouldn't be a war of words.
No.
This would be like straight up, I would hide the silverware and they'd be like, they would be strangling each other.
Yeah, this is not Candace with a butter knife territory. Yeah. Like, this is dangerous, for real. Yeah,
this is raw.
And I mean, Leanne, with all those hair extensions, I imagine Gigi just, like, ripping them off her head.
Weave,
that big old weave she's got.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the first place you go, I think, and those kind of...
God, yeah, that would be a street brawl, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would be a straight up street brawl.
Yeah, that would be like you would, if you were in the restaurant, you would like clear away towards the door. Watch, but get out of their way.
I feel someone would get arrested.
Oh, yeah.
Who do you think it would be?
I think Leanne.
You think so, really? Before Judy?
I think Gigi's a lot of, what do they say, all bark
and no bite.
Really? She makes these big scenes and she's like the type who's like, hold me back. Like,
yeah, but Leanne is too. They're both like histrionics all the time. They're like drama queens. The kind that without them, Real Housewives and Bravo would be boring. It would be all Teddy Mellencamp and Robin. So yeah. Thank God for the Gigi's and the Leanne's. Nothing to talk about. Okay, so time for Shit Show of the Week. And this week, I want to give Shit Show of the Week to Tamara and Eddie Judge because there was a story in the, I say news lately, in the gossip news this week, where Tamara was giving an interview saying that she would be open to the idea of adopting a child with Eddie.
Wow.
Yeah.
That wasn't a joke.
That was not a joke. And let me remind everyone, she's like 51.
Yeah, she's like 51, a grandmother.
A grandmother. Like, I think that's freaking crazy. I think it's wrong. I mean, I don't mean to be a bitch and be judging other people's lives. I have a child, but like, your kid's 20 and you're in your 70s. Like, there's a really good chance you'll never see them live to get married.
Yeah, it's unfair to the child.
Yeah.
Because I think parenting, I'm sorry, what is Yeah, it's unfair. They're going to spend their youth taking care of their...
of their parents. Yeah, there's that. But also, Tamra has 4 children already.
What is... Yeah, she has kids and, like, grandchildren. Yeah. What is this, like, an attempt to maybe, like, is their marriage on the way out?
Oh, so my God.
It's like an anchor baby.
I don't know, but I do want to tell whoever is listening to this podcast right now that children do not save marriages. They ruin them. Like, there's nothing that puts more stress on a relationship than having a damn baby.
Yeah.
Soon, everyone hates each other. No one's working hard enough. Someone's always working more. You know, like, it's just like no one's, you know, the husband's not getting up enough or God knows. It's a nightmare. Having children is a nightmare. No, I loved having a child, but it's extremely stressful on your relationship. So that pretty much wraps it up for this week's episode of Kiki and Kibitz with Jordan and Brianna. Come back next Friday, and we look forward to seeing you then. Bye.
Adios.
If you enjoyed this episode of Kiki and Kibitz with Jordan and Brianna, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Give us a 5-star review. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks.